And as we all know, each holy day represents past events, lessons of significance for our current spiritual development and conduct, and a part of God's plan of salvation for all mankind, which is yet to play out. I thought I would start out today with a very brief, you can call it a 10,000-foot overview, of the Revelation timeline presented by the Fall Holy Days, or represented by the Fall Holy Days. First are seven seals. The first seal, false prophets. Second seal, wars and rumors of wars. Third seal is famine. The fourth seal, pestilence and disease. Fifth seal is the tribulation. Sixth seal, cosmic disturbances, earthquakes, sun darkens, and moon looks like blood, stars falling from heaven, every mountain and island moved out of its place. The seventh seal then contains seven trumpets. First trumpet, hail and fire mingled with blood cause all the grass on earth and a third of the trees to be burned up. The second trumpet, a great mountainous burning object thrown from the heavens and strikes and causes one-third of the earth's ocean to become blood. One-third of the sea life dies. One-third of the ships destroyed. The third trumpet, a burning star falls from the heaven on sources of fresh water, causing the water to become bitter and kill many. The fourth trumpet, the light of the sun, moon, and stars upon the earth will be diminished by a third. Then we have the fifth trumpet, also called the first woe. John could only describe this as an unusual type of locust that will emerge on the earth and will inflict intensely painful stings upon humans for 5 months. The sixth trumpet, also called the second woe. Four angels will be released to kill one-third of the earth's remaining population. And then we have the seventh trumpet, which has inside of it nested seven plagues. The first plague, painful sores upon those that had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. The second plague, the sea becomes blood and causes all life in it to die. The third plague, the rivers and springs of water will become blood. Did I just read that? Maybe not. Fourth plague, the sun becomes so hot that it scorches men with fire. The fifth plague is darkness, pains, and sores. Sixth plague, the Euphrates River dries up. And the seventh plague, a mighty earthquake and devastating hail, with hailstones weighing up to 100 pounds. So then, at long last, to end the turmoil and suffering, Christ returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The kingdom of God is established, Satan is cast into the bottomless pit, and 1,000 years of peace and prosperity begin, followed then by the great white throne judgment. These are the events pictured by the season that we are about to go into. And in our current era of evil, run amok, I'm reminded of Gabe was out helping me at my place pour a slab of concrete. And he was telling me that just 2 weeks ago, very near here, within not many blocks of here, this very building, a Muslim man beat his daughter to death with a blunt object and then murdered her two sons, so his own grandkids. So we hear stories like that, and we often think and yearn for the time described in Isaiah 65, verse 25. If you could turn there. Isaiah 65 and verse 25. We hear this often. This verse, or there's several quite like it, on the last day of the last great day. In verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. And, you know, we hear this and we think, Lord, haste the day. We hear the awful things going on around and we think, Lord, haste that day. But wait a minute. What has to transpire before that day can come? I would like to take the remainder of the time of this sermonette to highlight what the Bible says about our fate as his faithful followers in the end times. Revelation lays it all out for us. We already went over it. Seven seals to be opened, seventh of which contains seven trumpets, the seventh of which contains seven plagues. Poured out on humanity, all of these events summing to casualties and sufferings that the world has never seen before and will never see again. But what of God's elect? Those that can be called faithful, what about you and I? Prior to the opening of the seventh seal, God is going to seal a group of 144,000 people, representing the 12 tribes of Israel and a great multitude. In Revelation 7, verse 3, this is listed out. You don't have to turn there, but I will read, "Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have put a seal on the forehead of the servants of our God." Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. Then we skipping down to verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. It seems that once God's people make it through the first six seals, they are, air quotes, in the clear. So let's review a little bit closer what we will have to have endured if we make it that far. The first seal, false prophets, there is death. The second seal, wars, death. The third seal, famine, death. The fourth seal, pestilence and disease, death. If you could all turn to Revelation 6, verse 9. Verses 9 through 11. Revelation 6. When he opened the fifth seal, starting in verse 9. When he opened the first seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were killed as they were was completed. So that is the fifth seal, the tribulation, also known as Jacob's trouble. Lots of death, especially among the faithful. Christ says in the Olivet Prophecy about this time, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. We then have the sixth seal, terrible natural disasters of cosmic proportions, and we can assume more death. So now we've come to the point where the faithful are sealed, and the Bible is very clear. The martyring of God's faithful will continue until all the way up until just before the seventh seal is opened. 144,000 sealed, and then God's wrath rains down on the rest of humanity. I don't mean to be a pessimist. We all know and celebrate how this story ends. But we have to be ready for the terrible trials that await us in the end times. Mike Tyson, the undisputed heavyweight champion boxer through the late 80s and 90s, and a great philosopher of our time, is quoted as having said, "Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth." So I'm just here today telling you that our plan as God's people is to get punched in the mouth. And we have to be ready for that. To conclude, our understanding of the scriptures indicates that there are two categories among the faithful in the end time: those slain for obedience to God and for the testimony which they have held, and those that are spared from being martyred by whatever means, God only knows. But I think it goes without saying that even the 144,000 will have endured terrific, terrific suffering before the day of the Lord. So to which category do you and I belong? Which category are you and I called to be in? Are we prepared to stay true up to and including death? Do we exclaim, Lord, haste the day, knowing full well that that day may be the day in which we are tortured, tested, and martyred? As the wrath of Satan waxes hot with desperation as the prophetic timeline ticks on. Are you and I here today in this assembly out of solemn conviction of our calling and complete trust in God's plan of salvation? To those who live to see that day, we can find strength in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 through 18. You don't have to turn here either. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And for those that don't live to see that day, find comfort in Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were assured of them. Embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. But all of us, no matter where we fall, have to remain faithful to the end. And please turn for the final scripture to end to Zephaniah 2, verse 3. If you can find it. Y'all are on your little clicky things anyway, so challenge averted. Zephaniah 2, verse 3. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility, and it may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger.